What's going on, crew? Welcome to episode 147 of The Lounge. It is May 20th, 2021. Tonight, going to talk, I should have retitled it. I should have titled it How to Be a Shill. But yeah, that's what we're going to talk about a little bit is working with, dealing with the industry. Most of the time when we talk about the topics here in the studio, they come up either one of two ways, typically. Either it's something that I have been in some conference calls, tutorial, training sessions, something like that. I feel the need to talk about it and pass on. Or it's a situation, which is what kind of prompted our discussion, our topic for tonight. We're over the course of a week or two, I talk with multiple creators about kind of the same topic and the same thing. So that is the case. And so, yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit about several things. Going to talk about what it actually does require. Actually requires. Yeah, what it actually requires to be able to work with industry and stuff like that. It's a lot less, spoiler alert, than you might think. Set in on a creator chat here a few days ago, and I do respect this particular creator helper, and man, I really didn't like the boxes he was putting creators in on, you know, basically when they were able to reach out to industry and work with industry and do things like that. I think he was like completely off base with his standards, let's just say. The main rule that I want, I guess, the main takeaway is that there really are no rules. You can break molds, even though something may seem one way. I don't think that that's the only way to get it done. We'll talk a little bit about different tactics we could use about how to build up that portfolio, maybe different things that you do when you're talking to those companies. And I think we've got a pretty good panel when it comes to tonight's topic too. So as always, if you're in replay out there, remember you can participate down in the comments below. If you're in the live chat, well, welcome as well. And remember that if you have any of those nerdy questions as we're moving along on the topic, or maybe they're off-topic nerdy questions. G-Webs hits us with some of those out there sometimes. We're welcome to those as well. All they can do is extend the time that we're here in the podcast. So with that, let's bring in the panel, get the party started, so to speak. We've got the Rogue Banshee in the hizzy. What's up?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on tonight. I can't wait to learn about dealing with industry.
Right. Yeah.
I want to know everything about it. No, it's a good topic to talk about, because no matter where you're at on your channel, you're probably thinking about this or how to get better at this.
Right. Yep. 100%. King Travis P11 jumping in a rare occasion. So welcome.
Hey, man, I finally got some free time. What can I say? So now I appreciate the invite. I think it's going to be a great topic. And, you know, that big one to cover is, you know, how do you approach some of these companies? What's the best method to do so? You know, email, phone call, yep. Trade show. I think it's a lot of good advice out there that you guys can give. So it's going to be a great episode. Thanks, man.
Yeah. I guess we're still going to call in Budget, at least for now. But Budget Guns and Gear Reviews in the house. What's happening?
Hey, thanks for the invite, Clover. I appreciate it. As always, love this show. And I'm looking forward to learning some more about dealing with brands. I think it's one area that I really need to step up the game with. So looking for a bit of information I could take from this tonight. So thanks.
Good. And batting cleaned up. Ghost of the house with us. What's happening, man?
Well, I'm just deciding. I think that, you know, I've been trying to figure out a new business and all that, and I think that I figured it and I've honed in on it. So being a lookout, I'm going to start selling tactical Zumba wear, accessories and clothing and all of that. So if you're into Zumba, I'll be having some tactical Zumba stuff coming down the line. Thanks for having me.
Nice. Well, that borders my tactical yoga. So that'll work. That'll work, man.
Yeah. You know, whether it's Zumba pants or, you know, fanny packs are coming back into style now. So tactical fanny packs, you never know what we're going to have.
Man, they've been, right. They've never went away.
So let's kick this off. I want to go, I've got my bullet points here and I'm not sure if I'm going to go in any particular order or I'm going to jump around because I've wrestled with what's the best way to tackle this subject. And so one of the questions that gets most often asked is, you know, at what point, right? Do you start reaching out to brands? Do you start, you know, pursuing that side of things, whether it's, you know, maybe things for, products for T&E or whether it's for maybe some type of partnership or sponsorship or whatever it might be. You know, how early is too early? Is there such a thing? How big is too big? Is there such a thing? You know, when I think about it, you know, I think there's a lot of things that go into it. And size of a channel, to me, and this is just going off not only my experience, but my experience with a bunch of other channels that I know, is that the size of your subscriber base and stuff is really, that's really low on the totem pole. The quality of your content, and I'm not talking about quality, meaning 4K, right? Fast jump cuts. Some of the editing techniques, by the way, shameless plug that we talked about last week. I'm not talking about quality in that, but quality does, you know, does it offer a value? You know, do you go over the high points and the low points and in detail and things like that? Also work ethic. How often are you putting out videos? Are you consistent with that quality? Are you putting out one thrown together video of low quality compared to, you know, mostly compared to an occasional quality video? Next is, I think, a big one, which is communication skill. A lot of folks lose sight of the fact that, you know, once you get into a position to where you have to start talking with companies and you're really trying to grow that brand and your channel, you have to shift almost into a salesman mode, right? And certainly statistics and analytics and things like that help when you start to, when you start to sell yourself or sell your channel. But you know, the best of the best can do that no matter what those analytics or statistics might mean. They can twist them and bend them to their advantage. So what I'm saying is, in my mind, doesn't really matter how big or small you are. There's all kinds of other factors that come into play, I think, that you have to be not necessarily good at, but at least comfortable with. Ghost, I'll bring you in first. We'll run kind of backwards through the room. As far as size of channel and some of the things that you need to be thinking about before you start pursuing companies and making contact with these companies.
Yeah, I don't think that size of a channel as far as subscribers are an issue. I think before you start trying to work with deals and with companies, you have to have a portfolio. And size of a channel as far as videos, I think you're going to have to probably have a nice, half a dozen to a dozen videos under your belt that kind of show the direction of your channel. Whether you have 100 subscribers or 100,000, if you've got that real quick, that dozen videos, it kind of shows that industry, that company, basically what you are, who you are, what you're trying to do, and what you can do with videos, then that's key. But you also have to understand that it's not just YouTube. You got to be able to do decent Instagram posts. If you've got availability to do written articles, it's not just being able to put together a 4-minute video for someone. It's, can you present their product over multiple platforms to a large audience, or at least to an audience that is going to fit into the realm of what their product is? You and I seemingly are going to be able, are probably going to have different ideas of companies to work for. Because what my crowd and what I like to put on my video and my on my channel is different than yours. So I might not be going after Henry, where you might not be going after some tactical whatever, you know. So you know your audience, know what your channel is. Don't try to push into a company that may not fit what you're trying to do. But ultimately, it comes down to presenting them something over multiple platforms and multiple arenas that's going to give them optimal exposure to whatever product that you're trying to work with.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Ricardo out there says, don't some companies give you merchandise to test on video for review? And yeah, that's sort of what we're talking about here is getting to that point, Ricardo. To answer your question, yes, no need to run that through the panel. But then also to elaborate a little more on that, and everybody on the panel can give a virtual nod with this because I think they're going to be in agreement. We've got to be really careful when we use the word give and when we use the word free, because there's times that I've spent far more money than a product is worth doing content on said product. And there was nothing free about it. With that, bringing budget. As far as getting started, channel size, things you need to be thinking about, skills you need to have honed, that sort of thing.
I think goes to the nail on the head. I don't necessarily believe that it's the subscriber count on your channel. I started doing this when I was like at 500-600 subs, you know, pretty much from the start, trying to get in there and get my name out and work brands and that. I think he is right that a company is going to want to see a body of work from you. They're going to want to see what you're capable of. They're going to want to see if you can do, you know, good looking. It doesn't necessarily have to be broadcast quality, but they want good quality stuff. They don't want to be associated with some cheap ass fly by night, you know, piece of crap video. They want their products out there with good stuff, good videos, good quality stuff. They want to make sure that you're going to, that they want to see that you do it consistently. They want to see that you do it often. They want to see that you can deliver multiple platforms, whether it's, you know, YouTube and Facebook and Instagram, or add a website of your own. That helps. And if you can write and place content on multiple websites, that's even better. You know, it's when you get that portfolio of work to show a brand, that's what they want to see. I think I could be wrong. I'm not, you know, one of these companies, but that's kind of the approach I've taken that I've had some success with.
Yep. Travis, kicking it over to you here. Channel size, factor in at all, thoughts on that, and then certain skills, communication, work ethic, so forth and so on, make a difference starting out.
For me, I started getting a lot of offers and calls from companies around the 20,000 subscriber mark. I didn't hear much before that point, because I'm trying to think back to when, say, Olight reached out to me, or X-Aegis, or Bear Creek Arsenal, and it was around the 20,000 subscriber mark. But I think if you, like you guys are talking about, you're producing some high quality videos, you're showing some channel growth. If you hit these representatives with your channel figures, the number of platforms that your videos are viewed on, your channel growth, your number of views, your core audience, you know, if you sell your product, which is your time and your ability to promote their product, I think that's what leaves them impressed. Now, obviously, you know, there's going to be, you know, there's always going to be terms associated with it, and there's going to be rules and guidelines, you know, that each side is going to want to follow. So you got to be careful how you do that. But it is really about making that impression. If you're showing them that you can, that you've got a genuine interest in their product, and you know, and you would like to test their products and would like to tell your audience about it because you think it's something your audience could benefit from, I think that creates a little bit of excitement for a vendor, for a company, and they will respond back to you. Depending on who the company is and who you go after, you know, you might have better luck with a local holster company versus Glock, you know, if you're trying to get some products to test out and review. But yeah, it really does have a lot to do with how you present yourself, what you can tell the company that your channel generates, and so on. So
I'm going to follow up with you, Travis. I'm going to pick on you just for a second, because what you said there was something that I heard, I've heard in the past. So I want to ask you this. You said it was about 20,000 or so, and companies started reaching out to you. So before that, how much time, energy, thought, whatever, did you spend in reaching out to companies?
You know, I had those thoughts that my channel wasn't big enough. There was no point even wasting my time. They're not going to recognize me. Honestly, I don't. Tulsa was the first opportunity for me to talk to people in the industry, if you want to look at it like that. So I was actually talking to companies that manufacture these products. I got to talk to Millspin. I talked to a few places that were making, like, you know, concealed carry purses, custom design purses for ladies. They were very interested in working with me. They didn't ask how big my channel size was. Neither did Millspin. They didn't care. They gave me some products to test out. They said, hey, you know, get the word out about our company. Ask us any questions you want. Call us anytime. That really opened my eyes. But yeah, and part of it too, I got to be honest. I mean, with me, with my job, and YouTube, I do it when I have time. It's
right.
It is a hobby. It's not my primary job. I love doing it. It's wonderful, but it's not what I do every day. So I don't have the time, unfortunately, to pursue the companies like I wish I could. But no, that's a good point. Yeah.
So I guess what I was getting at is hindsight is 20/20. Let's back it up to say when you was 1,000, 2,000 subs. Do you think that you could have achieved some of the stuff you achieved now if you had just spent a little more time on that side of things?
Yeah, I would have reached out. I would have emailed the companies and gotten hold of their PR people earlier. Because I mean, I've seen small channels showing off the new Taurus models. I'm seeing channels that have 1,500 subs, 2,000 subs, and they're getting these like GX4 and you know the G3s and G3Cs. I'm like, wow, they got 2,500 subs and they're showing this gun off on release day. And they got it as a promo from Taurus. Whoa. Man, I can't even get Sky to call me back, and I don't know why, you know? Seriously, though, I think you can, if don't be afraid to contact these companies, even if they brush you off, it's still worth, you never know. I mean, anybody, there's 1,000 companies out there. If you'd sit down and make the calls and make the emails and put the commitment to it, the time, I think you would get better results for your channel. If you're trying to, if that's the kind of channel that you want to run.
Sure.
Doug,
go ahead.
Honestly, on the other end, it's been easier for me to do the firearms part because of my association with SS Pawn. I mean, I'm not going to lie. That's made it easy for me to acquire firearms. That's why I haven't ever really had a demo from a company other than Bear Creek Arsenal. So,
yeah. And we're going to get into, you know, all of what you brought up there. So thanks for bringing a lot of that stuff up as far as, you know, who you approach, when you approach, how you approach, that sort of thing. Before we do that, though, we've got to bring Rogue in. And let you kind of play cleanup here with channel size versus skills you need, the hustle portion, I guess, of being a channel. What are your thoughts?
Well, being the mouse on the panel here with all you big dogs above me here. I think channel size has a tiny bit, but ever so slight, of a thing, but I think that's mostly mental for the creator itself. I know channel size mentally for me held me back. When I finally let go of that, it started opening doors for me that I didn't even realize that they were there. But like everybody else said, you know, it's working through your analytics, telling a story, and generating energy about your channel. When you're talking to these companies, you know, yes, I'm only so, you know, so big, but my channel is growing at a steady rate. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's a manageable growth. You know, I didn't explode overnight where it's just going to completely collapse under its own weight the next day.
Right.
Those are all things that you can talk about, and they'll listen to you because they want to know, you know, these companies are also looking for the next up and coming channel. Because they want to ride that wave too.
Sure.
So, you know, the way you're presenting yourself is important to these companies.
Right. Papa out there, and hopefully his wife is doing well and he gets back on the panel here with us soon. But Papa out there says go through the process for contacting a manufacturer that is not someone who contacts you. Yes, we're definitely going to get into that side of things. Stephen Elder out there says, I would also say you need to know your competition. There's hundreds of other guys trying to get in on the same action as you are. That is true. That's an element. I'm actually going to add that in here so we can kind of talk about that, Stephen. I don't know that that's as big of an issue as one might think, but still worthy of talking about on the subject. So thanks for that. Thanks for that part of it. So several on the panel have mentioned the portfolio, and obviously you can't build a portfolio without creating some videos, and you can't create some videos without having some type of product. So now this could be, in my mind, stuff that you already own. That obviously it's a no-brainer way to start. But in my mind, there's also a few other avenues that you could reach out to. So that's kind of where I want to go with this. First of all is Amazon. Oh, good Lord, at the Amazon. And if you ever could score one Amazon thing, you will become inundated with various Amazon products, stuff that's not even in your niche. I get toys, for example, pretty regularly, which makes absolutely no sense. But you've also got...
For some reason, they think I want to review beauty products.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a hint. I don't know.
Yeah. We've had Adult Novelties reach out to us, and I have no idea why.
But you've got also being able to pay attention to startups. I think young companies. Somebody mentioned that, you know, looking for the up and cover channel. There's something to be said about building a relationship with the company, and I have several that at the time when I started working with them, they were an unknown, and now they're major players in their sector of the industry. And there's just something to be said about that because that's a, I don't know, it's a different relationship, right? There's more loyalty, I think, there because they were with you when you were small, you was with them when they was small, you know, remember the good old days, so to speak. And then the other one is not losing sight of what Travis brought up earlier. G-Webs out there has talked about this on occasion, is aligning with those gun shops, aligning with the pawn shops, anybody that, you know, handles firearms or maybe accessories, maybe it's aligning with the local range or the hunting club or whatever it might be, and forging a relationship there that maybe can open some doors early on. So as far as processes in which you build that that portfolio up, you know, who do you reach out to? Where do you go? Kind of where do you start the evolution? Rogue, going to kick that one off with you. What are your thoughts?
You know, I started my channel off with stuff I own because, well, you know, that's what I have. That's what I'm familiar with. You know, am I going to, a lot of my videos are gunsmithing. You know, disassembly, reassembly, and that type of stuff. Those are guns that I've maintained for decades, some of them. One of them was actually literally the first gun that I ever had. So it gives you a little bit of comfort to, while you're learning other things, to work with what you got. Plus, it gives you a little bit of a reprieve because you're not really hitting your wallet that hard. So definitely start with what you got and work your way up. You know, I have a company that I work with that I got them because I did a review of one of their products. And they absolutely loved the review and they contacted me. And I was so surprised when I got that email. And then I sat there and go, what's the appropriate amount of time to wait before I respond to this thing? Because I don't want to respond like instantly.
Right.
But yeah, definitely start with what you got. It's what you know. And it doesn't cost you anything because you already own it. Work your way up with that.
All right. Rod out on the Facebook side. Yeah, we are on, have been on Facebook the last few podcasts. I think that's the first comment that's come through from the Facebook side. But says this all goes both ways. Rod, obviously, with the Gun Cleaners LLC. Check them out. Great company, great products. He says smaller companies have the same feelings and issues with getting creators to take a look at us. Yeah, I know you do. And that's one of the reasons I like working with small companies and up and comers and things like that. Travis, jump in here on best ways to build up that portfolio from Amazon products to local connections, like you sure. spoke about. What are your thoughts there?
What really got me connected with my local range was they do a fundraiser every year where they raise money to fly veterans to Washington, D.C. And it's a pretty big event that Hornady comes out and they do a shoot for the public. You can come out and you can test all kinds of different guns and they bring out some pieces from their museum and stuff. And I asked them, I said, I talked to the range, the owners of the range. I just emailed them and said, I'd like to have a meeting with you guys, the day of the get together. And would you mind if I just film this event? When I'm done with it, I'll share the video with you guys. And if you like it, I'd like to post it and let people know about the range and let people know about what we're doing here. And they said, yeah, that'd be great. And I mean, they're local people. It's a small town. I only knew a couple of them and I wasn't really tight with anybody in general. And after they saw the video, they said, anytime you want to come out here and film or anytime we have an event or they're just go right ahead, and never had a question for anybody. Anytime I was out there. So that was a good one. Go cover an event for them. Let them know that you'd like to just let the world know about what you're doing, as for, I think about, you talk about the pawn shops and gun shops, think about Iraqi veteran 8888. He started off with Moss Pawn and, just approach, if you have a local pawn shop or anybody, that maybe is a firearms enthusiast, say, hey, I'd like to feature, some of the firearms on my channel and I can get the word out about your business and, let people know that you're here and what you offer. And in return, maybe loan me some firearms. I could take them out, shoot them, clean them, whatever. And that's really all it takes. Just got to ask. Remember, the answer is always no unless you ask.
Got Papa out there. Hit on a couple comments real quick before we get to budget. But Papa says, I've made great relationship with the local range with some pre-range time. Now, something I do to thank them. As mentioned him in any of the videos that he shoots there. Swamp Dog says, my main company he started working with simply reached out because of a similar name. I built a great relationship over time from just conversing back and forth. Now to Papa's thing. Absolutely. It's having a relationship with a gun shop is, it's a double-edged sword sometimes. A week ago, something like that, I had to go work, because they were short on employees, which sort of sucked because I'm retired and not used to doing that. Hanging out there and working on some stuff or whatever is much different than being expected to be there. But either way, they do a lot for me by way of transfer, parts, accessories, potentially getting things at cost, whatever it might be, to help out the channel. So anything, obviously, that I can do for them helps. Budget going to come to you. Building that portfolio, be it those very first corporate industry, whatever you want to call them, connections, whatever it takes. What are your thoughts on that?
I first started building my portfolio by, just like everybody else, reviewing stuff that I already have. Then it was stuff that I would buy at Walmart, stuff I'd buy from Amazon. I pretty much anything that was within the wheelhouse of my channel, I would get it, I'd review it. Sometimes I would send the company links just to let them know, hey, dudes, I'm doing this. I bought this and here's what I thought of your product. That didn't pan out a whole lot, but other than, hey, thanks. But, I figured that was just something to try. I really started having success with reaching out to brands when I started going to trade shows. As a matter of fact, it was the USCCA Expo in Louisville. When I went to, when they had it there that year, I went and I talked with two companies with whom I still have a relationship, Newbold Targets and CCW Breakaways, the concealed carry pants. Those guys, I got to talking with them, and that put a face to the name instead of just an anonymous email. So that got my foot in the door with dealing with different companies. And after that, I managed to get the Amazon guys hooked on me. And as I said earlier, now they're sending me requests to review like beauty stuff and all kind of other stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with my niche. But hey, thanks, guys. I like that. Early on, I also formed a relationship with my local gun shop and my local sportsman's club. I'm now one of the board members of the sportsman's club, and I teach at the gun shop. You know, I teach concealed carry classes, and I teach the bushcraft and survival classes, which, by the way, I have coming up on the 26th of June and 27th of June, by the way. So, you know, you slowly, is what I did anyhow, slowly try to build and build and build. I also joined a professional organization, the Professional Outdoor Media Association, and that led to some contacts, and it lent me my brand, my channel, you know, a bit of legitimacy. Whereas if they haven't heard of me, well, at least they know there are standards to become a part of this professional organization. So, yep. You know, I'm not just some schmuck, mm-hmm. even though I kind of am some schmuck, but you know.
No, absolutely. And I'll echo that, whether you're talking about PALMA, Professional Outdoor Media Association, or SIOPA, Southeastern Outdoor Press Association. Either one of them, I think Rogue might speak to this as well. Jump in, Rogue, if you want to. Those organizations, I know for me, absolutely no regrets at all with getting joined up with them. It does require, there are requirements, though, that Budget did not talk about. It's not like you just contact them and pay a membership and you're done. And what we're talking about here, doing reviews, getting paid, earning ad money, other things all go into that membership process for those organizations. So might not be something that you can achieve at 500 subscribers, but if you really work on honing your skills of communication, you work on your contacts, your networking, you know, just takes a few different companies in the industry that you can work with, and you can certainly position yourself to get joined up with one of those organizations. Do you want to jump in, Rogue?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm actually just working on my PALMA renewal. I'm wrapping up my first year of being in PALMA. I had actually not planned on joining PALMA right around now for the first time. And then with a little bit of nudging from someone on this panel, and actually two people on this panel, and some help, I realized that I qualified. And I worked through that. I became a PALMA member. And that totally has opened doors for me. There are other PALMA members that are manufacturers. Of not just guns, but other products. And I started reaching out to them, and that's how I started building how to talk to the industry. So yeah, it's definitely something worthwhile to do. If you qualify, go for it.
Right. Right. Well, and if it's on the cards, I mean, obviously there are membership fees at play and other things. So especially when people are first starting out, that can be a little tough. Wanted to say, hey, we did have Rod, of course, from the Gun Cleaners that popped over earlier. I see Steve from Medieval Industries out there that was over at the on the Facebook side and talking about industry. Yeah, Medieval Industries. We met with them at Tulsa. I don't know how many of the other guys that were in Tulsa with us went over there and talked with Steve and the crew.
Oh, I did. That's some good stuff.
Yeah, they've got some pretty, pretty cool things happening. So definitely check those folks out. Got to kick it to Ghost now. Finish this one out. Talk about building that portfolio, whether it's, you know, the Amazon knockoff or reviewing your own stuff. What are your thoughts on all that?
No, I mean, obviously, the Amazon is pretty simple to get into. The gun shops are great. I would even say, obviously, having what you have in your own collection to start off with. But also remember, if you've got a buddy that's got, you know, the new XYZ firearm, he sends you a text, hey, man, I just picked up the new gun. You want to go to the range? Yeah. Do you mind if I shoot a video with it? If it's new and you don't have it, they don't know, they don't care if it's yours or not. You're doing a review. So ask your buddies that might have something that is interesting or new that picks one up right away and do a quick review on it and, you know, pay them for the ammo or whatever. Yep. A lot of that goes into it. I would say this, though. Don't sell your soul to the devil just to get product.
Yep.
Because if you do that, and this is something that I think we all have either struggled with or whatever, if you sell your soul to the Chinesium devil,
right,
don't get stuck with being the cheap Amazon reviewer. Utilize it to get going, but then know when it's time to break away from that. They're still going to send you stuff, and that's cool. I get stuff sent to me from these guys without even asking me anymore, and usually I give it to someone at the range or whatever, or they'll ask me, hey, do you want to do this? No. But also, I've got buddies that have 250 subs. I'm not interested in that right now, but I know a few creators that would be. And so help out someone, pay it forward to someone that might be looking. If you're looking for product and you don't know any connections, get a hold of me and say, hey, if you ever come across a Red Dot or whatever, I come across them all the time. I get daily emails from companies that are these, you know, Amazon companies want me to do something. I can send them your contact information, and I have no problem doing that whatsoever. So utilize bigger channels that you're friends with. I think that the most important thing is this. You've got to go and meet these people face to face, whether it's at SHOT Show, whether it's at USCCA, NRAM, Tulsa, whatever it is. Any industry event or any event period that there's going to be industry people, you've got to meet them face to face, have your elevator speech ready to go, because someone said earlier, there's hundreds of people trying to compete for the same crap. Well, guess what's going to put you ahead of those other 99? They've never met those other 99 face to face. If you go and you meet them, you shake their hands, I'll put it to you this way. It is much harder for someone to say no while looking you dead in the eye than it is to say no in an email. So meet them face to face. Let them know your personality. Talk with them a little bit. Once they put a face to your channel, doesn't matter what size you are. If they can picture your mind and your face in their mind and know, hey, I've met this guy, he's a good dude. Mm-hmm. That means more than any email or any portfolio that you could possibly do. If there's any way you can get the SHOT Show, any way to get the NRAM, USCCA, those are the main events that the companies are out there, get there. I don't care if you've got 50 subs or 150,000. If you're not there, and be at all of them, if they see you at multiple, 2, 3, 4, 5 things in a row for multiple years, you'll say, well, not only do I know this guy, but I know he's serious about this because he's making the trip to all of these shows, and he's showing me he's dedicated to his craft. So that's huge as well.
Travis, was you going to jump in?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, Ghost, when you're talking about don't sell your soul. Don't sell yourself out in exchange for a positive review. I think you can get into a really bad cycle where, you know, you'll be getting these items just to get them because either you would normally buy them or maybe you couldn't afford them, but you want them for your channel. Because a lot of the companies will say, well, we'll send it to you in exchange for a positive review. I'm like, no, that's not going to happen. I'll give you a fair review and I'll point out any flaws with the product, or I'll point out what I don't like about it. And I've had a few companies say, okay, fair enough. Test our product. Let us know what you think. It's like, okay, good. Because, you know, you really got to watch out where you go with those things, because it can kind of get you into a hole where you just get used to doing that kind of thing just to get product.
I take the same tack that Pickle was talking about out in the chat. Whenever they tell me, hey, I'll send you this in exchange for a positive review, I tell them, well, if you send that to me, I'm going to give you an honest review. Some of them go, yep. Some of them go, yeah, never mind. And it doesn't bother me either way.
Well, there is a couple things. I mean, especially if we're talking, and we're going to get into, G-Webs brought it up, something along this lines earlier about some of the, you know, negatives when we're dealing with this. But, you know, when we're talking about Amazon specifically, I agree with part of what's been said, that once you get to a point that you don't really have to hang your hat, or, you know, you really have to worry about that, you've got other connections. Pass that Amazon stuff off. I know I do. What I normally will do, they'll send me an email. They want you to review this, this, and this. And I'll be, look, I'm busy, but here's three emails to people that I think will do you a good job. You know, see if they're willing to take it on. Right. And so far, I think they have. I mean, they followed up on that. Now, another thing to keep in mind with a lot of the Amazon reviews is they could care less. They don't give two flips if you make a video with it, right? All they're looking for is that star rating on Amazon and some kind of a little blurb. So keep that in mind, too, that you can completely dog it, you know, on a video. I think one thing, and we've talked about it, I don't want to go down the review process road. So I'm going to say this and then I'm going to pivot really quick. But when you're reviewing something, when I review something off Amazon, or I'm reviewing something that's quote unquote budget friendly or whatever the case may be, I try to review it from a perspective that it is what it is, right? If it's a $10 flashlight or pocket knife, you know, I'm going to sell it as, look, guys, this is a $10 flashlight or pocket knife. Now, does it sharpen? Oh, yeah, it sharpens. Does it open boxes? Does it do this? Does it do that? Yeah. Can you throw this around? Does it have a lifetime warranty? Can you run over it with a truck? Can you leave it in the creek for a year and come back? No, because it's a $10 freaking knife. So, you know, if you're looking for something cheap, it'll work for you. If you're, you know, and I've done that with belts, I've done that with other things. Like, you know, as long as you understand this is what it is, then yeah, it rates 5 out of 5 stars. Now, if you're trying to compare this to whatever the, you know, Big Daddy brand is at the time, right? Then no, it does not at that point meet 5 out of 5 stars. So it's a matter of perspective. And I've had people even comment on videos and stuff, and they'll, you know, they'll ask me about it. And I'm like, you know, you're better off not going with this. You know, as I said on there, it's, you know, it is for the budget minded and for light duty use. And you know, if it's talking about a red dot sight or something like that, like it's worthy, you know, on a 22, you know, you ain't gonna have a problem, but I would not put this on my AR, for example. So G out there earlier was talking, and I do want to get to the FaceTime part of it, talking about showing up at these events. I think that's a very important part. But we've talked a little bit when we talk about obligations with Amazon or obligations with certain manufacturers, and G-Wub's out there. He kind of started us off somewhere, if I can find it, with a question, and he says, these discussions tend to focus on the positive side of the industry relationship. How about the negative parts to the obligation? And yeah, there's definitely some potholes, I guess, that need to be careful with, in my mind. We brought one up is that, you know, always make sure what is the agreement, right? I enter into it, whatever the company is, and, you know, it's not just, you know, I leave nothing to assumption, right? So if the conversation is, hey, Clover, we want you to take a look at this. And I'm like, okay, just send it my way. There's way more than that in the conversation. Because even if they're adamant about putting something in my hands, I want to get a conversation about, okay, what do you expect? What type of content are you expecting? How much content are you expecting? And what type of time frame are you expecting it? You know, as has already been mentioned, are you wanting a positive review? Or are you wanting an honest review, right? Are you looking for me to put links to the product in the description, which we all know here on YouTube can be problematic? You know, there's a lot of different parts and components that go to the, as G-Wub's kind of pointed out, the obligations, right? Contractual or otherwise. Sometimes it's just a handshake. It's just an informal email back and forth. It's just a conversation at a show, but I still think that it's important to nail down the parameters. Whether you're talking about a young company or you're talking about an Amazon company or you're talking about a big company, informal or not, I think it's very important. I think it's vital, and I'm glad that G-Wub brought that up, to nail down the parameters so that you don't end up in a bad situation. Ghost, we'll throw this one over to you to kind of kick this one off again. with contractual obligations, the obligations that you take on, and you know, what are some pitfalls and some other things other than the whole we want a positive review that we might need to sidestep. Before you jump in though, Ghost, Ricardo says good advice, thumbs up, $5 super chat. Thanks, Mr. Ricardo. I'll start calling him Lucy just because I can. Lucy out there with a $5 super chat. Good advice, thumbs up. Thanks, Lucy. Appreciate it. Go ahead, Ghost. Jump in here on those contractual obligations and some of the potholes and pitfalls that might come with those types of things.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when you're starting to work with companies, and this is obviously the next step, you've actually have contacted companies and they have shown interest in working with you. Now is the negotiation side, and they want to protect them and their product and their reputation, but you got to protect your product, which is your channel, and your reputation. So a lot of it comes down to basically finding what is a good mixture. Like you said, are you wanting me to do a positive review? If that's something that you're willing to do, then do it. I'm not, and I think most of us in this panel, if not all of us, are not willing to do that. We're going to give you a fair review. Right. And sometimes a fair review is, like you said, this is a really good product for a $25 red dot. Now, am I going to put this up against a Trigicon or any of that? No. But for what it is, and there are ways that you can word things and make sure, and I say, hey, I'm not saying this is five stars. It's a five star. It's a five star for a $25 red dot. If you compare this against other products in their price range and all of that, then this is what it is. So you just make sure that you understand what they're wanting. Make sure that what you're willing to do. And then when it comes down to the terms, make sure that you are able to deliver on those terms. If you tell them, hey, I'll make sure I do 5 videos for this in the first, 3 weeks I get it, and I'll do this and I'll do that, homie, you better do that. You better be able to get you 5 videos in the first 2 weeks and 6 Instagram posts and all this, that, and the other. Because if you don't, that's your reputation and your word saying, hey, we didn't ask you to put those terms out there. You voluntarily threw those terms out there and you didn't deliver. Now, are they not going to work with you? Maybe, maybe not. But they're always going to have in the back of their mind, this guy said he can do 5 videos, but he's only going to do 2 of them. Then, yeah, I don't know. So make sure you can actually, deliver on what you're saying you can do. Most importantly, protect yourself. If they're wanting certain things from you and you don't feel comfortable, here's the thing. Don't do it. I don't care if it took you a year to get that first contact. If you don't feel right about what they're asking you to do, there will be another company come down the line. That's the biggest thing I can tell you. It's kind of like dating women. You go to a bar, you ask 10 women to go out. You only need one to say yes. Yep. You don't need all 10 of them. So if this is number 9, they say yes, but you don't feel right about it, you still got other fish in the sea. So don't just sell it to get that one.
Right.
Okay. You've got to be able to understand what they're wanting, what you can deliver, what you're willing to do.
Yep.
Outside of that, that's just a game. That's business. That's the ugly side of this, is what people don't realize. This is a business. They're utilizing you for free marketing and advertising. So you use them to help your business out as well. It's a give and take for sure.
Yeah. And that goes along. G-Webs is kind of ghosting us out there with multi-questions because he's kind of following up. So before we get through the rest of the panel, Ghost, he says, what obligations does the industry have to creators who risk their reputation and spend their time to make the free commercials? And he says, what obligation do viewers have? You want to hit on either one of those real quick before we move on, since we're talking obligations?
Yeah, sure. I mean, as far as what the industry's obligation is, the industry's obligation is if you're going to, and this doesn't happen very often, which is sad. And I wish the industry would do a better job at this. If you're willing to send product to someone to help promote your product, then maybe you should promote that person's video once they've given it to you.
Oh,
that's good. Only give and take. Most don't. Now, I'm not saying all of them, because there are a lot of them that we work with that do, but right. The vast majority will not put it on their website, won't put it out on their Facebook, won't put it out on their Instagram, won't put it out wherever. They won't promote your video. So how can they expect you to do all the work if they're not willing to help? Now, as far as the viewers go, there's a lot of things that can be involved with this. I'm going to touch a couple because I'm sure everyone else wants to do it. But the biggest thing is this. If you want your review video of mine or Budget or Travis or Rogue or Clover's or whoever you trust to do a review, and we had not the ultimate, but we had some part and you decided to buy such product, send an email, or if you buy it from their website and they say, you know, any comments or special instructions for the order, just say, hey, saw a review from CloverTac on YouTube. He did a great job with your video. Or, hey, I just want to let someone know, I just bought this gun, and there's some great reviews out there by Budget and Travis and Rogue and all these guys. They're really doing a good job promoting yourself, and they helped me decide to buy this firearm. More or less, more than anything else, if you buy something, leave a comment on that video and say, hey, thanks for the review. Yeah. I decided to buy this with your help. If you don't think those companies look at the comment section of your videos, if they do see it, you're crazy. So leave a comment and say, hey, you helped me purchase this. Your review helped me decide to buy this product. Thanks for the help. As a viewer, that is huge. So that's all I got. I don't want to take all the time. I'm sure everybody wants to talk as well.
Well, and before I forget, I want to follow up because this is a huge thing. This is why I always talk about when I talk about leaving a comment. I mean, even if you just want to continue the conversation below, is one of the things that I'll say. And that's if you go and you buy that product, if you have trouble with it, or maybe you figure out something like there's a little tab in the battery compartment, right? Put that in the comments below of that video to let other people know. You know, I can't be the end-all, be-all source of information on a product, but if you've bought the product and you have experiences and stuff to share, share them. It's all part of that community effort. That's an obligation that I can come up with. Budget, going to come to you. We're talking the overarching theme of obligations. So when we're talking about the contractual obligations of the review, we're talking about what are the obligations of the industry to us as creators, and then what obligations do those viewers have if you want to hit on those three.
Well, I think that the industry, I mean, let's be real. Any obligations they have are absolutely none unless it's contractually negotiated by you. Other than that, this is, I mean, there's no obligation other than what you guys, what I negotiate with a brand or a brand negotiates with you or whatnot. Those are the only obligations. Now, it would be nice if they would do as Ghost suggested. And you know what? I'm putting in my time, effort, money, and everything else to do to make this commercial for you. So you sharing that to promote this, to get, you know, get the message out that's positive to your product, assuming it is a positive review. I mean, I can understand it from a brand standpoint if you're like, hey, this sucks. But if it is a review, you did like it, and it's, you know, something you have some favorable things to say about it, it just seems to me that it would benefit them even more to share it with their audience because there might be somebody who's watching their stuff and is maybe on the fence about buying this particular gizmo and might see that positive review and go, okay, well, that's another data point. Maybe I'm a step closer to buying it. I think it would also be nice if, you know, they would recognize that maybe a little bit more help with getting this produced is in order, particularly if it's a firearm, because, you know, ammo ain't cheap. So, you know, maybe a little bit of help with the ancillary things that you need to have in order to do a review would be great. Getting paid would be nice too, because, you know, we are doing this and putting our own money out. At least covering expenses would be great, but, you know, that's stuff that they reserve for the larger, bigger, et cetera, et cetera. The small fish generally don't get stuff like that. As far as the obligation of the viewers, nothing. They don't have an obligation, because there is no contractual relationship between us and them. I think, again, it falls into the category of, hey, if you like this, this would sure be nice. You know, I've said many times, matter of fact, I've had comments in my comment section, man, you, matter of fact, I should probably be collecting a check from Xtar because I think I've sold a ton of their EP9s because I've had a ton of comments, you know, on, hey, man, I bought this because of you, et cetera, et cetera. My response when anybody says that is my response in the comments is, well, you know what? Do me a favor. Send them an email and let them know. Because that's really, you guys that are watching this, that is something that is just awesome for the customer to tell the brand, hey, I bought this because of this person. Helps so much. And again, if you don't want to go that far, click share. That helps. You know, all the standard stuff that you hear us say pretty much every video, like, share, subscribe, you know, that stuff helps.
Travis, jump in here on the obligation side of things, creator, industry.
I'm going to agree with Mike across the board. I think he pretty much hit the nail on the head. The only thing I will say is you were talking about asking for some help on the production or the ammo. That's I kind of disagree on that because they're coming to us for us to produce a product for them, and we're getting the core components from them, albeit it could be the gun or the coat or the watch. So we're kind of the advertising agency that's putting that together for them. So it's kind of mutual. You're growing your channel. You're getting exposure. You're gaining subs. And in return, they're getting, you know, an evaluation of your product put out there in the public. So, I mean, I don't disagree with you. It would be great if we all had a Ventura Munitions contract or whatever. But, you know, that's one of the reasons why I've been able to get some of the reviews and the guns is because I don't request the ammo. It's like, send it to me. This is what I'm going to do for you. You know, the videos, the social media exposure, et cetera. The other thing I will say is companies like Bear Creek Arsenal, because I've worked with them for a long time, they ask for a discount code with your channel name in it. And what Bear Creek tells me is they track the sales that my channel generates for them by the people that use the discount code. So they can tell what direct impact my videos have had. So, and I honestly don't promote the discount code as much as I possibly should, but even Olight, that's why a lot of those discount codes, we get sales when people use affiliate links and there's revenue that comes from that. But the discount code is a big one because that's a direct sale that you made for them. So I think that's been one of the reasons why I've been able to work with Bear Creek for as long as I could is because I push a discount code. People get a discount, the sale gets recorded, they want to keep working with me in the future.
The problem, and I think viewers need to understand this, the problem with discount codes is that can be, at least under YouTube policy, considered promotion of the sale. So
when it's a gun, it's an issue. You know, it wasn't 5 years ago, but we got to watch out these days.
Yeah. So depending, you're absolutely right. I mean, if you're doing it on a flashlight, that's one thing. You're doing it on a firearm or something, or, you know, an upper or ammunition, something totally different. So got to be careful with that. But with that being said, as a viewer, it's another reason if you want to support a creator, make sure you're aware of if they have a website and what's on said website, because some creators have, most should, but some do have a website, and their discount codes, their affiliate links, their other things, which not only can help out that creator, but obviously with discount codes save you money as well, are listed on that website somewhere. Right. And so that's off site. You're not having to worry about the YouTube side of things or anything like that. Rogue, finish us out here on obligation. We'll move down the road. Your thoughts that maybe nobody else has covered so far.
Yeah, you know, I think everybody's pretty much covered it. You know, I see where both Budget and Travis are talking about with production. I personally feel uncomfortable asking for help with that production, especially a company that I pursued and said, hey, you know, I'd like to do a review of your product. They send me a product. But yeah, I don't think the audience has an obligation. I have an obligation as a creator to do a review because that's what I said, you know, and negotiated with them. And the manufacturer, they really don't have any obligation to me other than send this out. But to kind of go down a little rabbit hole here where you're talking about the websites, I have a website. I have you know, affiliate links and stuff like that. Something to think about is that when you're talking to companies and you go, my channel is X big, I get so many views, blah, blah, blah. You're going through your stats. But also, I also put my content on my webpage, which gets you an additional 6,000 views, you know, it gets an additional 6,000 views per month on my content. You're starting to build, build on that, where it's, you know, you have multiple areas where you're pulling your analytics, and you can show that you're a little bigger than you really are. Well, I wouldn't say bigger than you really are. You're bigger than you realize you are.
Right. I want to address something in the chat real quick. I was going to type it, but Jay Howell joined us and he says, hey, good evening. YouTube is out for the heads. The body of those who have monetized gun-related content, two decent people chopped today. You may want to contact me personally. I am fully aware of what's going on. And those that have followed this channel for a while know that, YouTube is seemingly uninterested or uninvolved for the most part when it comes. They don't care about getting rid of gun channels. They do have policy that I do not agree with. Most people don't. And we're doing some things behind the scenes. Now, whether those people come back and say, hey, you know, YouTube does have avenues of recourse that Clover turned us onto and we got this fixed and correct the record, who knows? Because it's much more sexy for people to demonize YouTube than it is to say, hey, YouTube gives us this free platform. They do have rules. And, you know, while we can work to change the rules, while we're here, we have to abide by said rules. So there you go. I wanted to follow up on a couple of things with, I guess with the obligation thing. Somebody had mentioned a couple of you have mentioned sharing the video, the company sharing the video. And so I've had that happen with a few companies. But I think that one thing that we need to do, and this goes into kind of my next segment. I'm going to talk about communication, which includes FaceTime at shows and a lot of other things, communication with these companies. But, you know, one of the things is that it's the tagging of people, tagging of companies when you do things in social media. I think that's really important because that'll put them on the radar. The other thing is making sure with communication that your contacts and all are correct, because the person that you talk to that sent you the product might not necessarily be the person that you need to communicate with to let them know that you've done that video. So there may be a person in fulfillment who has sent you the product, but you need to be talking to a completely separate company that's a marketing firm to say, hey, I've got this video that I did on this product. It's live. If you guys want to check that out or use it to your own benefit or do whatever. So again, it's follow-up, it's communication, it's networking, it's having spreadsheets or spiral notebooks or whatever it might be with names and numbers and email addresses and things like that and being able to keep up. The next thing is where you're able to put all this together is what a lot of folks have talked about. Not only does it help you build your repertoire and your skills as a creator to be able to make some of these shows, but again, it gives you that live FaceTime. And I would hope that Steve, who was out there in the chat earlier with Medieval Industries, as well as Rod from the Gun Cleaners, probably back me up on this, that they really enjoy having that conversation back and forth with people at shows. Now, one show that I highly recommend people go to, 4 out of 5 on this channel have been, is the Wanamaker Tulsa Arms Show, the largest gun show in the world. And that does kind of help prep and get you ready, I think. We've talked about that on previous podcasts. For the shows like USCCA, like NRA, like course SHOT Show. So gonna run this one back through. Rogue, we'll start with you. Let's talk about the communication factor that includes making shows and some of the high points when we're talking about being able to communicate effectively with these companies. Just your overall thoughts on that.
So I have a hard time getting shows because I live in Montana and everything is, you know, at least 24 to 48 hours in an airline system to get anywhere. So it's a little hard for me to get to shows. There are some that I really want to get to that I just can't. But I'll be I'm putting all my focus right now on SHOT Show. SHOT Show in January, I'm putting all my focus on that because that's one that is straight down an interstate for me. Sure, it's three states away, but it's just one interstate. Mm-hmm. I think FaceTime is exactly what is killing me on my channel and talking to these companies.
Yep.
Sure, I have some contacts. I need more. I want to get in front of these people. I've said it before that I suck on an email. I try my hardest. I'm just not that good at it. But if you're face to face, you're inside my stadium. You know, I have the home court advantage, even if I'm standing inside your booth. So that's where I want to play to my strength. And, definitely get in front of these companies. It's hard to get through an email. It is. I mean, even people who are successful at it will tell you it's hard. Get used to a lot of rejection. But don't give up. I mean, absolutely don't give up. I've worked hard on emails. I went after companies. When I finally did my media kit and got all my analytics together, and one particular organization that would not give me the time of day, I wouldn't say will give me the time of day, but they'll at least acknowledge me now.
Right.
So it's myself better, and I'm starting to wear them down that they'll talk to me.
Right. Right. So apparently I gizzarded Budget down there because he was going to follow up. So follow up and then give us your thoughts on, communication, making shows, some of that type of stuff.
Okay. The follow-up I had was, circling back to the getting help from, subscribers on the, not subscribers, but, brands on producing the videos. I've never asked for that. That was just it sure would be nice kind of thing to kind of help defray some of those costs because, you guys all know that there are costs associated with doing videos that are far in excess of just the product. That was all I meant. As far as communication goes and getting the shows, I've always been a big believer in getting to the shows. I started doing it early on. I think I had like 695 subs when I first went to USCCA to try to, get my name out there, get exposure to brands, shake hands, look them in the eyes and all that stuff. So I think it's super critical. I've gone to every show that I could with my prior work schedule. It was kind of rough, but now that I'm trying to make the jump to full time on this, I'm looking at, I'm going to try to hit NRA, assuming that still happens, but I digress. And I'm definitely going to be trying to make my way to SHOT, even if it's only for 2 or 3 days. I got to get there. I got to do it. So I think it's yep. critical. I like to do the face-to-face, as you can see. I think it was Rogue that mentioned it earlier, that it's way easier to tell somebody no via email. When you're looking them dead in the eye, face-to-face, it's a lot harder. And I think that, it's super critical. It makes you a human being to them. Even if you have, and this is like super important, if you have established a relationship with a brand via email and phone calls and whatnot, when you go to a show, they need to be your first stop. They need to be your first priority so that you can reinforce that relationship and let them know that they're important to you. I did that with Choke Machine and Tool. I started talking with Fred over email and whatnot and phone calls, but as soon as I got to a show where he was at, very first stop, because those, which by the way, Choke Machine and Tool, great guys, great stuff.
It's Yeah, I mean, it's really important that you continue that communication and continue that FaceTime. It shows, and it gets harder and harder and harder the more contacts that you make. And G-Webs, of course, has got another great question out there dealing with. We'll deal with that quality and quantity. We'll deal with that. Deal with that here in a second. There was another thing you held on budget that, dang it, I couldn't remember what you said that sparked something, and I didn't make a note. Unfortunately, I was reading the chat, so I'm going to move to Ghost. Ghost, we'll kind of come back around counterclockwise here, but yeah, jump in on communication, FaceTime, going to these shows, that sort of thing.
You know, we talked about this a lot. I mean, ultimately, when it starts out, you're feeling it's like a boxing match. You know, the first couple rounds are just jabbing. They're trying to feel each other out. What can they do? What can they not do? Do we like these people? Do we like the creator? And that's what the initial contact is. Over time, if you continue to go to SHOT Show, then to NRAM, then to USCCA, and then you go back to SHOT Show, you go to NRAM, you go to USCCA, and over 2 or 3 years, you see the same people. It does two things. One, it legitimizes you that you're actually trying and you're willing to put in the time and effort to get to these shows, to see them face to face. What ultimately happens is you stop being industry creator. You actually, and a lot of us in here, we're friends with these people. When we go to these shows, we're going out to dinner with them now, not as creator industry, as friends. We have guys that we go to SHOT Show, and the first thing we do when we land is text them and say, hey, what are you guys doing some night for dinner? Or, hey, make sure, like, we'll go smoke and say hi. And it's one of those things where you're friends at this point. So you move past the relationship of content creator and industry employee. And ultimately, that's the biggest thing. Now, the flip side of that is we also know that the firearm industry is a very volatile industry as far as jobs go. So if you make a good mark with some media director at XYZ company, well, guess what? Next year they might get the Smith & Wesson job. And they were at a small company, but you became friends with them, and now they're at a huge company, and they already know you. You don't have to build that relationship with Smith & Wesson. You've already established that relationship with their PR, with their media director. Remember that these people change jobs all the time within the industry. Companies close down, companies get bought and sold, whatever. But these PR and advertising and media directors, they go from job to job sometimes. Sometimes it's a new job every year at SHOT Show. You might have them see them 3 years and they're wearing three different shirts at SHOT Show. Well, guess what? You've established that relationship with them 3 years ago. So wherever they go to, they already know you. So remember that as well. It's huge. Face-to-face and creating friendships, not just relationships. Create friendships with them.
Travis, finish us out. Follow us up, whatever, here on communication, FaceTime, and these shows.
Yeah, you know, and since we're just talking about, you know, how to kind of get things going for yourself, start off with a local gun show, you know, see who's in your community that offers products. Defense Dad and I went to a small town gun show a couple months ago, and I didn't even know that there was a company in Nebraska that was small, you know, just two-man operation that are doing custom AR-15s for people. I didn't even know they existed, and I discovered them and started talking to them and chatted with them a little bit. It's neat. You just start off with little things like that and start to build those relationships, and then it can grow to Wanamaker, and then it can grow to SHOT Show. And it all depends on how far you want to take your channel, but you can't be afraid to just get out there and just talk to people. Like, you know, Budget said, look them in the eyes, shake their hands, talk about what you do, ask them about their products, see if you can build a relationship. If that's the way you want to go with your channel, then that's great. You know, take it that way. Cause Ghost, this was something you had mentioned, you know, a long time ago, a lot of companies, and it's kind of a response that I had to G over there in the comments. This is the new form of media that I believe companies are going to go through to market their products, because they know that a lot of TV commercials aren't really on anymore. There's not a lot of print publications out there. There's newspapers that are folding up left and right. They want to get their name out there, and somehow they got to do it. I think they're going to go where people are going, and it's YouTube and Google searches.
There's also a big issue is online restrictions, just like that, you just like before, you couldn't do like alcohol and they're like hard liquors and tobaccos and other things, right, on like network television. The same thing is happening now with a lot of firearm industry people where they can't advertise in certain spaces online. So I think that's an issue too moving forward. Yeah, let's shift into what G-Webs had brought up out there. Again, G-Webs throws more questions out there in a studio podcast than we can cover in about 8 different episodes, unfortunately. But this is valid. And I mentioned it earlier, and it does kind of go along with what we've been talking about here, which is the quantity of contacts versus the quality of contacts is more actually better. I'm all for more. This is where I'm going to come down. And I'll explain my position, and then we'll pass this through the room, and I'll get other people's opinion. Because just because I'm not going to utilize that contact doesn't mean having that contact cannot be of benefit to somebody else. And so as a broader part of networking and a broader part of the community and wanting the camaraderie among colleagues and other things, just like the five on this panel and the multitude of other ones from G-Webs to RTAC and Daughters to Gizzard to Gunsnob to the other creators that are out there in the live chat. There's something to be said about potentially having a contact that I don't utilize that others can potentially benefit from if I see that, and I may just hear it in passing. Somebody may say, "Hey man, I really wish I could find this, that, or the other." You know, and it's like, hey, I know who you can call, and give them that number. So for me, I like quantity. I would say quantity over quality, quite honestly. Rogue, what's your thoughts on that?
I get where you're going with that. And, I don't disagree with it. But personally, I would want quality over quantity. If I had to choose the two, I would definitely choose quality because I want to build those relationships. Like Ghost was talking, you never know when that person's going to move on and you'll move on with them. So I want to do the quality contact. So that way I can build that relationship, possibly get more product out of them and build a partnership more than a relationship. That way we're both helping each other out.
Mm-hmm. Travis, jump in here. Quantity, quality, when we're dealing with contacts.
Yeah, that's a difficult one. And I'm looking at what G's saying, and he's got a point. Many times they'll work with you, but then they'll move on to the next big thing. And that, to me, that just reminds me of advertising and products in general. I don't know. I guess I haven't gone out there and got the quantity that I probably should because I just haven't taken the time to ask. But I think it would be important to get out there just as long as you can balance the expectations because you might have been loyal to one particular brand of firearm and then suddenly you got another one contacting you and they want to see your product. And I guess I really can't answer it, to be honest with you. I think you just got to do whatever you're comfortable with.
In the context of which I read what G-Webs wrote, it had to do, are you calling a contact somebody that I've actually done work with or work for? Because to me, that's not a contact. The contact is just, hey, I know this person that works here that's in the marketing for said company, right? And I may know that person and I may see them at shows and they may, shoot me emails on product releases and other things, but I've never worked for that company because it's like Ghost said earlier, which I'm going to Ghost next, it may not be a fit. So, but just because it's not a fit for me doesn't mean it might be a fit for somebody else. And it's nice to have that. I'd rather have that contact in the Rolodex should an opportunity present itself for me to help somebody out, even though I'm not going to use it. Ghost, I'm going to come to you with quantity over quality with context.
I mean, I'm going to piss some people off, but quantity, you can't have quality without contacts to begin with. Once you start building your number of contacts, then the quality will come over time, whether it's the relationship evolving, whether it's the personal friendships, whether it's a business partnership, whatever it is. If you're looking for quality, and I'm not saying any of y'all are wrong. I'm just saying for me, if you're out there trying to say, I want to find one company that I can have a relationship for 20 years or for 5 years or whatever. That doesn't exist, guys, because as soon as the next flashy YouTuber comes along, they'll leave you in a heartbeat to go find that new flashy person that's going to give them more exposure. So the more quantity that you have, then after you've got that Rolodex of catalog of contacts, then over time, the quality will naturally happen with the brands that you continue to work with. One, because you like their product. One, they like how you do your videos or whatever. The quality will come and evolve over time. But if you don't have that initial set of contacts, it's going to be extremely difficult to get that first quality contact. That's just me.
Budget, finish us out.
I really have no opinion on this one.
Right.
I mean, I don't necessarily have enough data to form an opinion. So maybe I need to get my ass out there and build my Rolodex, right?
I was going
to
say, what are you doing right now? Because you want to grow your channel. You know, you want to do it full time. Are you starting to make those calls now? Are you starting to dig deep and build the database of people to contact? What's going to be your strategy?
Right now, I'm focusing on getting content out regularly. You know, that's why I started the Woodsman Wednesday thing. So I'm putting out the outdoors content every week. I'm doing the live stream every Friday, and now I'm trying to work on getting up some a backlog of videos for the gun content to start putting one of those out every week as well. Once I get a few more videos in the can, then my concentration is going to be hitting the POMA records and getting the contacts and sending people out. You know, I want to build a media kit so I can send all this out to them and try to get these contacts working. Gotcha. And build my Rolodex a bit more. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at the moment.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I think now that we've totally confused everybody, bless your heart. If you come into this thinking you were going to learn something, you're probably more confused now than you ever were before. But never fear. There's a comment section below. You can obviously reach out to any one of us. There was a question earlier, like, how do I get a hold of you? Literally, you can Google CloverTac, literally, and probably come up with 10 ways on that first page to contact me. You could pretty much do that with anybody on the panel, and pretty much do that with just about any creator out there, any creator that really cares whether or not you're able to contact them, that is. So, you know, yeah, if you've got questions, if you're confused about something, by all means, hit one of us up and let's have a conversation. Let's figure some things out.
There's also an easy way that you can literally click in the description of this said video right now, and his email address is in there.
Oh, is it? Is it? Yeah, it might be. People don't look at descriptions, including me, because, like, I don't know that it's down there. But, yeah. So, anyway, I'm going to clean up the studio here. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to run this through the panel. Let everybody just give your final thoughts on the overarching topic tonight of working with the industry. If you've got those final thoughts, and obviously plugs and other things that you need to get off your chest before we shut the doors tonight. Rogue, we'll kick it off with you.
You know, it's like we've always said, you know, give out, turn the camera and stuff like that. You know, start filming, do whatever. Build your book. Start building up that portfolio. Work on improving your craft and start talking to industry. You know, it's a very high denial rate of emails, even for bigger channels. So start working on that. As you start sending out emails, you start working on the grammar and what to say and you know, things to put into that email that'll increase your odds of getting a response. So just start working on it. You know, if you're at 500 subs, start working on it now. Do whatever you gotta do to start getting there. I like what Ghost said earlier. If you're going to go down that whole Amazon route, awesome, do it. Just realize that you have to have an exit strategy, mm-hmm. and then know when to execute that exit strategy.
Yep.
So, but thanks for having me on. It's great to get on. You know, like Clover said, you can Google If you Google the Rogue Banshee, you'll find just about everything about me and how to get a hold of me. I'm happy to help out.
Thanks for jumping in, Rogue. Budget, you're up.
Thanks for inviting me here. I've learned some things tonight, as I always do anytime I come on this show. As far as where anybody can find me, here on YouTube, Budget Guns and Gear Reviews, on the web, budgetgunsandgear.com, Budget Guns and Gear on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that. Was thinking about rebranding, may not rebrand. I don't know. I talked with a marketing guy over the past weekend at the Tactical Response Fighting Pistol class, as a matter of fact, and he gave me some directions to think in. I'm going to have a video coming out real shortly about Ruger P-Series pistols. That's actually uploaded and going to be scheduled to drop soon. I've got my live stream, The Right of the People, where we use the first to defend the second, tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern. I've got a bunch of news, politics, current events that are Second Amendment related to talk about. What else? I have on June 26th, I have a basic survival workshop that I'm teaching here in Northeast Ohio. You can go to my website, budgetgunsandgear.com, and find out how to sign up for that. I heard what you guys were saying, or actually were not saying, when nobody signed up for it before, and I dropped the price a little bit, and slots are starting to fill up. So if you're going to be in the area on June 26th, you know, go sign up for it, because they're starting to dwindle, and there won't be room soon. So, again, thanks for having me here, and I appreciate it, man.
You bet. Travis, go.
Yeah, no, just, you know, start local, start with the resources that you have, build up your portfolio, and then just don't be afraid to go after the big dogs. Don't be afraid to send those emails and make those phone calls and get out there. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort. And again, like what Rogue was saying, the rejection rate's going to be high, but you will eventually start to find that base to work with, and you go from there. As for me, check out my channel, TravisP11, over here on YouTube. And we've also got a podcast that we do Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. called Caliber Corner. We talk guns and ammo. It's a good time, 8 a.m. Central Time. And that's about it. So thanks for the invite, man. I appreciate it. It's been a great chat tonight.
You bet. Ghost, bring it in.
Yeah, the biggest thing I can tell you is if you're going to do this, be passionate about it. Whether it's a hobby or it's full time, if you're not passionate about it, then two things are going to happen. One, you'll never get better at it because you're not going to care. And two, the industry will know that you don't care or you're not passionate. If you're having a conversation on the phone or face to face and they can't tell within 5 seconds that you're passionate about doing your work, then you've already lost them. So be passionate about it, whether it's a hobby or full time. Most importantly, I really know. Kidding, don't care if you subscribe to my channel, so don't go look for me. If you're into that, cool. If you don't like my channel, please, I encourage you to send me all the hate mail that you have to shootingleftofcenter@gmail.com. shootingleftofcenter@gmail.com. Blow up my inbox with hate mail. Thanks for having me.
That'll never get old. Yeah, I'm going to finish out by echoing some things. I mean, first of all, you know, we've got a problem in society. It's society-wide with thin skin. Get some thick skin. Learn to accept rejection. Learn to not be allergic to the word no. You're going to hear that a lot. I think it was Steven that threw out, you know, the competition. There's a lot of people creating content, which is a beautiful, wonderful thing. That's what we want. We talk about it all the time. Turn on the camera. Turn on. Get in the mix. I'm not, you know, I don't say there's a lot of people creating content to dissuade you. I say it to encourage you. Turn on the camera. Turn on the microphone. Get involved in it. As G-Webs has pointed out there in the chat, and we've talked about, maybe reviews and working with industry is not your thing. Maybe it's 2A. Awesome. Maybe it's makeup. Maybe it's cars. Maybe it's whatever Ghost mentioned that you're passionate about and you think you can bring value in. Do it. If you're in any of those other things, some of the same tactics, your cars, makeup, whatever, some of the same tactics and things that we talked about here still apply. And so there's trade shows, there's, you know, for pretty much any industry, right? And there's companies obviously with different industries. That's why it's an industry. So, you know, focus on, I would say, making those contacts and don't be dissuaded and let the size of your channel or your endeavor hold you down. You and your personality and your passion and everything else can transcend those numbers and make some pretty amazing things happen once you kind of get over yourself with the smaller numbers. And that's why I wanted to, again, for those that come in late, missed kind of my monologue, that's why I wanted to do this, because I had some quote-unquote creator helpers that I sort of respect, that sort of basically said that if you were less than 10,000 and definitely less than 1,000, that you were just going to have a hard time working with companies. Well, you know, I had been under 10,000 for a very, very long time. Only recently got up above 5,000. And I've worked with some pretty big companies. So that's a bunch of BS what they're spending. And maybe that was the case when they came up. And maybe that's what they hear people that don't understand how to hustle, that don't understand how to network, that don't understand how to communicate, are telling them. Maybe it's people that's just sitting back and expecting things to come to them. And if that's the case, if you're sitting back and you're expecting things to come to you, then yeah, it may take 10,000, 20,000, 100,000 subscribers on your channel before companies reach out to you. But if you're willing to hustle, you can make it happen a lot sooner. A few things going on this channel before we close out the studio. Obviously, video drop. I actually had the two this week, which I've had for I've missed out on for a while, but actually had two produced video drops that are not Texas constitutional carry related, but we're still trying to cover that. As far as the update on what's going on, there's really not an update. Did a podcast on that a few days ago. Have done a community tab post. So if you're trying to follow the Texas constitutional carry thing, I promise you, as soon as I know something worth reporting that I can substantiate and make sure that it is true, and I've heard a lot of stuff over the last few days that I have no way to corroborate, and I do not think it's at all accurate, I will not put that out. So if you see something on the community tab or you see a podcast, then yeah, pay attention, because there's definitely some breaking news with that. So far, cautiously optimistic. I see no reason to think that it won't get done this session. Stranger things have happened, but again, cautiously optimistic. Hopefully, you've learned something here on the lounge. And again, if you've got questions, if you're even more confused, hit one of us up. Obviously, my email and website and all that's down in the description below, but hit one of us up. Utilize those comments if you need to. That's fine, too. But for this week, the studio is closing down. Until next week, stay nerdy.